good, thank you. Good morning, everybody. How are y'all doing? Okay. Hey, it's rainy out there. It's kind of nice spring day. Nice day to be in here, right? Okay. Let's see. How about we start today with page 417. Let's stand, please. 417. When peace like a thank you, Lord, for the beautiful day, the opportunity to be here. Thank you for the showers, Lord, that we need. Thank you, Lord, for my church family, Lord. Thank you for the time that we had yesterday, Lord, just working here in our church, getting some things done. There's good camaraderie, Lord. There's folks just shaking hands, just loving to be with each other. Just a good time that we had. Thank you, Lord, for it all. Thank you for my pastor, Lord, and his wife. Thank you that they're here today, Lord. Already they've been involved with another church this morning, Lord. Appreciate that, Lord, what they got done there. But he had time for us, Lord, and he does. Thank you, Lord, for one. I just pray that as John speaks today, Lord, that your message that he has today will speak to each and every one of us. Help us, Lord, as we listen to look, Lord, to see, to hear, and to know what you're teaching, trying to teach us here today, Lord. Guide and direct. We thank you for this great nation we live in, Lord. We know it's many, many problems. But I pray, Lord, that our leaders might turn to you. Help them, Lord, as they try to guide our nation, Lord, in the right direction. Help us, Lord, to know when to follow, but when to say something, Lord, that we need to say and do what we need to do. Be with us, Lord, Lord, just guide and direct. And thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let's see. How about page 414? 414, please. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. verse 3, but we never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows and the joy He bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Sing the last. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Thank you. See, announcements. Evening service tonight, 6 o'clock. We're going to have a Sing-spiration tonight. Check it out. Personal evangelism is going to be on the 25th. Ladies' Work Day is March 29th, 9:30 to 10:30 in the morning. Bring a trash bag with you. Wow. I now have the new address for Jack and Kathy Schoen. This is Deb speaking. Good Samaritan, 700 Waverly Road, Davenport, Iowa, 52804. If anyone has anything for the April calendar, please get it to Deb by the 26th. Our next Iron Sharpens Iron is April 1st. Women's Bible Study, April 1st. Also, 6 to 7:30 at Cottage Grove. The thought for the week, always trust God. Ourselves are another matter. Guys, you come forward. We'll take up tomorrow. Yes, Kate. Tonight, we have a music committee scheduled for tonight right after service. So just a few minutes. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, again, we come before You seeking a little more of Your word, Lord. A little bit of preaching more from our pastor today, Lord. Just guide and direct, Lord, and know that You will. Thank You, Lord, for all that we've gotten done this past week, Lord, for just being there, Lord, every single day. Help us now, Lord, as we're about to give back to You. Just be with the gift and the givers we do so, and thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. Jason, he's right there. Jason, it's your turn, bud.
Good morning.
Turn on over here. Okay. Finally get a breath here. It's been a hectic morning. I usually try to prepare my heart a little bit before doing this. This for the Lord's glory and honor. We've been talking a lot about missionary stuff and getting out there. And as we talked about a little bit, it's not just, hey, send someone else, Lord, but it's send me, Lord. That's what should be in our hearts. And I struggle with that just like everybody else. So Lord, help us. Jaden has control over there. It's on.
sea and sky, I have heard my people cry, all who dwell in dark and sin, my hand will save. I who made the stars of night, I will make their darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart. I, the Lord of snow and rain, I have borne my people's pain. I have wept for love of them. They turn away. I will break their hearts of stone, give them hearts for love alone. I will speak my word to them. Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you I will hold your people in my heart. I, the Lord of wind and flame, I will tend the poor and lame. I will set a feast for them. My hand will save. Finest bread I will provide, till their hearts are satisfied. I will give my life for them. Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart. I will hold your people in my heart.
Good morning, everyone. I just have to say something before we go into our normal routine. Several years ago,
I appreciate that very much, Jason. Several years ago, I did what was called a Sunday morning switcheroo. Jason, stay here for a minute, please. But what I did, I didn't tell anyone about it, but we started everything and it was done backwards. But you know, this is one of those moments where we need to do things backwards this morning. This is when we need to have an altar call or a challenge. Jason presented the music there that brings us to that point. And maybe that's what we need to do this morning. If God is speaking to your heart. You know, I could get tearful about this, but I'm thinking of Samuel. And old Eli, the priest, going through the motions. But at least Eli understood after the third time when Samuel said to him, God's calling me. He said, you better listen to him. But same thing here. You know, we can do away with the altar call later, but if someone needs Jesus today, or you know that you haven't been following him, this is the day to make a commitment to him. Yeah. We don't know that we'll have the end of this service, but we have now. Yeah. So that's the point. Thank you, Jason. God makes no mistakes. None of you are here by mistake. Nothing that's been done here is by mistake. God uses all those things. Thank you, Jason. Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And yes, young folks, you're raring to go. Someday you'll get like I am and you'll say, where does the time go? I just want to let it last. But anyway, it's a great day today, no matter what the circumstances are that you may be dealing with in your life. But do not put that off. If God is calling you, go to him and say, here I am, Lord. I'm ready to be used. By the way, if your cup is half empty today, Jesus is the one that can fill it to overflowing. You'll never get it done on your own or without him. You'll always lack, but you'll never lack with Jesus if you do it his way. So I encourage us all today to get with the Lord and not continue to be not in his will, if that might be the case with anyone today. Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior. I do mean that today. It's good to be with you, and it is not an accident that we are here today. It is God's providential will. However you got here, by coercion, by invitation, by the leading of the Holy Spirit that said, maybe you ought to get to church today. And we're glad that you're here and glad for visitors with us as well. Our concerns are always for the hearts and souls of people. And today that has not changed one bit. Jason, I appreciated that too this morning because that does bring us into a worshipful mood. And that is one of the reasons that we're here today. We're to be edified and challenged in the Word, but we're also here to gather with the saints and to worship the God of the Bible and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that is part of what we do here today. As we begin our time together this morning, though, we need to go to prayer. And so the first place we'll turn is, like we normally do here for a long time, is privately to the Lord for just a few moments of introspection and a time for us individually to come to His throne and to ask Him again to touch our hearts today and let Him know how much you love Him today. That's what worship's all about. Letting him know that he is worthy. And my friends, he indeed is. So we'll take just a few moments of silent prayer. Welcome to one and all. I'll have a short pastoral prayer and we'll get into our message for this morning. Welcome once again. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, today, once again, Lord, we come humbly before your throne of grace and mercy. We thank you today for your institution that is underpinned as the chief cornerstone. It's known as the church, with your precious Son Jesus as the bedrock and the chief cornerstone. Today we acknowledge that, Lord, the value of the gathering of the saints called the church. We thank you today for Fruitland Baptist Church and for its divine providence, Lord, and its use. Lord, today we just want to acknowledge your awesomeness and greatness and let you know what a great God you are, Lord. Grow us and change us today, I pray, Lord. Help us to find a deeper walk with you and to know you even better today. Lord, help us with decisions that we may need to make concerning you, O Lord, in our lives. Maybe there would be one here that needs to kneel to you today, Lord, and say, I need your salvation, Lord. I need to be cleansed. I need to be forgiven. There might be those that are already saved and born again, Lord, but they need to have a tune-up today. And I put myself in that category always, Lord. There may be those that need your loving arms of comfort wrapped around them today that are in grief. Lord, there are some in our number who are undergoing trials with health. Also others, Lord, that are suffering from other maladies of the human experience. I pray today, Lord, that you would help them in their place and in their time and in their needs. Lord, we pray for our community around us today and those that we have an opportunity to reach through missions. Lord, help us again to be proactive in this world around us. Help us to be salt and light to those around us, Lord, that we would make the difference. Help us to be proactive, I pray, O Lord. Now today, Lord, we're going to take a look into one of the accounts that you give in Scripture of a man named Samson. And Lord, there's some principles in this. It will be a multi-week message, but there are some principles that we need to glean from this today, Lord. I pray today and I thank you for the Holy Spirit, the third part of the Trinity, of the Godhead, fully God, the Holy Spirit. I pray that he would be active today in all of our hearts here, that he would again show the word to us in a plain way, that he would help me, Lord, who am feeble and not qualified even to do this, Lord, to bring forth some truths today that will be applied to our lives. Lord, there is a sense of urgency about all this. None of us know, Lord, and we are not guaranteed another moment in this side of eternity. But for those that have placed their sin under your blood, Lord, we know that we have the hope for all eternity of being in your very presence. Lord, show us some of that today as you're here present with us. Help us to let you, the great and gentle shepherd, take control of our lives. And we'll give this time to you today, Lord, for that very thing, for honor and glory. And I pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of our message today is Relinquishing God's Authority and Endorsement in Our Lives. Relinquishing God's Authority and Endorsement in Our Lives. A dangerous choice. Yes, the subject that we'll be on here for a couple of weeks is a man named Samson and the events that surrounded his life. Let me just say this before I go into my short introduction here. Samson was a guy that I believe on investigation of Scripture that was ordained to be used of God. But in the early days of his life, until he was had his spiritual eyes opened, he was given great gifts by God and great opportunities to serve him. But Samson, I do not believe, was a believer in the God of the Bible. He was aware of him. He may have had connections with him. Obviously, we'll find that in Scripture. By the way, he was used, the Bible records, to judge Israel for 20 years, and I'll talk about that a little later. He was used as a leader in Israel. But the fact of the matter is, it wasn't until his heart was open to God that we see recorded in the end of this text. By the way, we'll be, for the most part today, in Judges chapter 13 through 16. We probably won't get much out of 13 today. But it wasn't till the end of his life when he really discovered where the true power of God came from. And then he began to do mighty things. So the question I have for us today is, have you ever squandered some of the opportunities that God has given us? You know, where are you and I at today with how we've handled the authority and the endorsement that God either has given us or will give us? And are we in a position to receive that? Denny, I think you talked to me. Well, I don't see Denny. He must be out back. Wasn't he talking to me about Matthew 11 this morning, Lynn? And he, you know, when Jesus spoke some words to the people around him there in his days when he was traveling this earth, he told the disciples, some people will not understand these words. Well, we can all talk about divine election, that they weren't chosen, but the fact of the matter is they weren't prepared to receive his words. That was the key thing about that, and thusly it remained hidden from them. And what we learn about Samson is kind of the same way, folks. We need to really hear what God is telling us, and we need to realize what God is doing. As I mentioned earlier, though, there is no mistake. God is willing to work with you and I today. He has a divine calling for us today, not only for salvation, if that is to be, but he has many other things planned as well if we get in tune with him. And like we've said today, as I mentioned, with the young folks in a hurry to get down to children's church, you know, I don't hurry as much as I used to because time gets away from me anyway. And I believe it's high time that we get this understood about how we have been called and how God is willing to use us and how we are to handle the things that he has given us. We talked about that in a message about stewardship here a while back. But today, friends in Christ, we begin the study of one of the most famous judges of Israel. His name is Samson. By the way, Israel was under the control. This is preceding Saul as the first king of Israel. Again, we have to understand that God, in all his time with the descendants of Abraham, the Israelites, he wanted to be their king. And they went through all kinds of turmoil. 300 plus years, there was a time that God had to appoint judges in Israel because they were cyclical. Israel would come back and repent. They would be in a walk with God, and then they began to stray, and they went downhill. And they battled enemies, and we'll look at one of those today, the Philistines, as one example. There was a never-ending, relentless attack upon Israel. They rose, they declined as they fell away from God. They went into despair, and God delivered them. This pattern took place, and it's found in the book of Judges, for 300-plus years. And today, our character that we're looking at, Samson, was one of those judges for 20 years, the Bible records, in Israel. So this was a time of instability in a nation. Folks, today we live in a time of instability in our world. And we need to understand that the only stability that we can have today is not in political things or other things, possessions, but it's in the God of the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And that's where we must run. So this morning, let this text be a warning to us all of squandering God's authority and endorsement in our lives and for our lives. The account of Samson will help us to determine if our faith is factual and we are walking in the will of God and in his power, or if we're superficially relying on his grace and human will. As I always say and pray, and this is one of my biggest prayers, Lord, help me. Lord, help us. Anyway, the first point today is some background information on this man named Samson. And so we're going to begin this morning in Judges chapter 13, beginning with verse 1. But let me just say this. Samson and his coming to be was ordained of God. And folks, every one of us here today was ordained of God. Our lives did not happen just by a random choice. But God has been behind the creation of every soul since the days of Adam, when he blew breath into Adam and he became a living soul. We are a part of God's creation. We have the capabilities, again, not because of what we are, but because of who he is, to be used of him, but we still have the choice to make. But the thing that is so unique about Samson is that he is like several people, but not a lot of people that are in the Bible. You see, his mother was barren. And when we begin to recall other situations like that in the Bible, one being John the Baptist, who else could we hear about that this morning that could not conceive? Well, there are several characters in the Bible in that situation, aren't there? And you know, I'm sorry, Lonnie? Elizabeth and Zacharias, absolutely. The one I referred to earlier there, Samuel. You start to look in the Bible, and there were quite a few of those situations. And the interesting thing about that, when God intervened on barren wombs or on couples that could not produce children, and they were able to, he used that productivity to do what? Great, mighty, and marvelous things. God works in our hearts in our weakness. Like Paul said, when we are weak, then we are strong. When we submit to the Lord, he will see strength come out of our weakness. Hallelujah, praise God. So the thing we want to focus on this morning is that situation. Again, and the first point is this. It's Samson's endorsement and authority came from God. Samson's authority and endorsement came from God. This is not unlike us. But we want to begin and look into how this all took place. So let's go to verse 1 of chapter 13, the book of Judges. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. You can read the whole account of what I just briefly spoke about earlier in the book of Judges. It was a time of chaos. It was a time of ups and downs in the relationship with the Lord. By the way, I believe this as well. Continuity and stability are found in a close walk with Jesus Christ. That is our stabilizing influence in our lives today. If you're in a situation of turmoil and chaos, you're on the rough seas of life, go to the rock that is Jesus and anchor to him. He's the anchor of the soul, the Bible says. And he will help us to remain, once again, in a position of continuity with him. And so this was a rough time there in the nation of Israel. In verse 2 it states, "And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites," or Danites, by the way, this is the tribe of Dan, that you understand was one of the 12 foundational tribes. The sons, again, of, I'm having a senior moment here, Jacob. And this man, who's never, his wife is never referred to by her name, but his name was what? Manoah. And his wife was barren and bare not. Now again, we see in this context, when God chooses someone and when he endorses someone and gives authority, he also does it in a way that is dynamic. In the Bible, we have several cases. And some of these, again, are found in some of the examples that I gave you here today. John the Baptist, Samuel, well, not Samuel necessarily. Help me on my memory here a little bit. Well, in the case of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Mary was not barren. We know that was the case. But what happened in several situations in Scripture, Abraham was another one, is that God came through the person of Jesus Christ, pre-incarnate, before Jesus came in the flesh, and he came in the form of an angel. So who we're talking about here this morning in the book of Judges is what we would refer to as a Christophany or a theophany. This was God in the form of Jesus Christ, pre-incarnate, that came to give a message again and to bring deliverance to Israel and to assign again and endorse and gave authority that was to come from God for this situation. And this situation this morning is Samson. And so we find here in verse 3, "The angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son." The promise of God. God had a use for Samson and for this son because it was totally a divine thing that took place. In verse 4, and by the way, we're just going to look at some foundational things here to start. You might want to jot a note or two on it, maybe in your Bibles. "Now therefore," in verse 4, "beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not anything, any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." Now let's draw a little conclusion here about some things. And we'll turn back to number 6 here in just a minute. But what this child that was to come to Manoah and his wife, who is Samson, was to be, was what is called to a Nazarite. Okay? And we'll look at the basis of that. But Nazarite simply means this: he was one who was to be separated unto God. Separated and preserved for God's use specifically. And there were specific instructions that were to go along with it as to how the child should be reared, and even as the child grew, how they were to remain close to God. We'll look at this now in just a moment. But understand this, there is a difference between a Nazarite and a Nazarene. Some people get confused about this. Jesus was a Nazarene, meaning that he came from the village of Nazareth. John the Baptist was a Nazarite. We referred to Elizabeth and Zechariah here a minute ago, and there are other people that are listed as Nazarites in the Bible, but simply remember this about that. They are ones who are dedicated and separated unto God for his use solely. Now, if you turn back with me just a minute, I want to just bring a few things to mind. Numbers, and I believe chapter 6. Numbers chapter 6, and these are the directives about these type of people that were called. And there again, there are several examples in the Bible. But just remember what we talked about there about being set apart. And so this was laid out to Moses by the Lord, here by God. And I refer to chapter 6, verse 1. "And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When either man or woman shall separate themselves to vow a vow of a Nazarite to separate themselves unto the Lord." By the way, did you notice this? It said male or female may be separated to serve the Lord. And these vows here had a reason behind them. Verse 3, "He shall separate himself from wine and strong drink, and shall drink no vinegar of wine or vinegar of strong drink. Neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, nor eat most grapes or dried. All the days of his separation shall he eat nothing that is made of the vine tree, from the kernels even to the husk. All the days of the vow of his separation there shall no razor come upon his head, until the days be fulfilled in which he separateth himself unto the Lord. He shall be holy, and shall let the locks of the hair of his head grow. All the days that he separateth himself unto the Lord, he shall come at no dead body. And you can look through all this. There was a preservation here of holiness. By the way, in general, God wants us to live holily. Okay? He says, be holy, for I am holy. But in the case here, and we don't have that office of a Nazarite today, even though you could subscribe to it, but there are reasons that God ordained some of these very strict regulations for this person who was set apart unto God. You notice there one thing that was mandated for a Nazarite was that they would not be involved with any mind-altering substances or unclean things, because what God had called to be clean and God had called to be holy should in no way associate with things that could cause us to become unholy. And folks, this is not a message on temperance this morning, but there is some principles here in this that we will just touch on briefly. But here is what I have to say on that. We need to be very careful how we handle ourselves, Christians, if we are separated unto God. And yes, I believe the Bible does teach separation. It teaches being separated unto God and being separated from the world and the call of Satan. And it is something that we must work at and that we must make a part of our lives. Now, that's the call here that Samson was brought under. He was to be a Nazarite. Now, I know someone's going to ask me right away, and I might as well deal with this right now. Well, why did the mandate come from God that they don't get a haircut? Well, I'm going to answer that briefly. I believe that was a constant reminder to those people that were called, whether male or female, that it was a vow and it was a calling to what God had called them to. Now, let's face something this morning. I'm not being judgmental. Everyone needs to look at the scriptures for themselves. But ladies or men, if you have long hair, you will always be reminded of something when you have it, correct? And what will you be reminded of? You are always going to have to mess with it. And when you mess with it, it will remind you, I have been called to be separated unto God. I believe that's part of it. A lot of people wonder, and you probably all know how this account takes place with Samson. Wasn't the strength in his hair? Well, the strength really was not in his hair. But the fact of the matter is his hair symbolized the strength of God in his life. And Samson basically lost everything before he lost his hair. But when he lost his hair down the line, he lost the whole thing. The point of all this is what? Just like I said in the message, how do we mess around and lose God's authority and endorsement in our lives? It's when we don't, and to answer that question, it's when we don't possess the internal authority of God. It's when we only possess the external presentation that God gives us for reminders. And that's where we get in trouble. I could stop right there with the whole message, but you've paid me to go ahead and give the whole thing. So we might be on this a couple of weeks, Elaine. Is that going to be okay? Loosen your collar. All right, back to Judges 13. You can read all about that. There's a lot there to belong to. But he is going to be separated, and he is going to be what? One who will deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Verse 6, then the woman came and told her husband, saying, a man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God. Very, in the King James it says, terrible or awesome. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told me his name. We're going to learn some things here about Jesus Christ. By the way, further in the text this morning, we're not going to meet Jesus Christ on our terms. We're going to meet Jesus Christ on his terms. And he's not going to dictate those terms to us, but his very presence will cause us to what? Fall on our face. I don't know what it'll be like when we meet the Lord, when our time here, when we pass, as Paul says, what? Literally in an instant, you know, into the presence of Jesus. I believe, you know, we'll see him, and I hope he'll say to us, "Welcome home, faithful servant." But you know what? When we see Jesus in his full authority as the judge, we will not be talking with the man upstairs. He's not my brother, even though he is. We're going to be on our faces, because that's our position before God. We'll see that come about here this morning. So Mrs. Manoah says, "Hey, I've encountered someone here that has a message for me, husband." By the way, isn't there a continuity that runs through this too, that the husbands are never with the wives when big things happen? Kay, why are you laughing about that? It's funny, but it's what? It's also curious. But praise God, Manoah got into the act here. Let's see how this took place. Again, I said this morning is somewhat foundational. He said to me in verse 7, "Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death." Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, "O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that was born." Let's give Manoah a hand here. Okay? By the way, what happened with Joseph and Mary when she was visited by an angel? Later, Joseph was visited by an angel and told him what? "Fear not. This is of God." Essentially, that's how God works in these situations, you see. Anyway, "And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah," verse 9, "and the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her." But let's go on here. "And the woman made haste." By the way, sometimes God uses the women as the catalyst to put this whole thing together. Ladies, you men and women are equally important before God. But I'm going to give the favor to women a little bit myself. Oh, that got some... Yeah, sometimes the men need the women to get them going and to be the go-betweens. Amen? Amen. Verse 10, "And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband and said unto him, Behold, the man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. And Manoah..." Give him credit here, men. He arose, it says. He didn't say, "Wait till the game's over." He got up and got going. "And Manoah rose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, Art thou the man that spaketh unto the woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, Now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him?" Thank the Lord that God used a situation in a man like Manoah. He may have legitimately not been with his wife, but let's give him credit here today. He got with his wife and he got with the program. And he took over and said, "Lord," and he's in paraphrasing here, "what do we need to do?" I'll tell you what, folks, to avoid relinquishing God's authority and endorsement in our lives, men and women, we need to stand up and say, "Lord, what do you want us to do?" And it will set us on the right track. In verse 13, "And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, Of all that I said unto the woman," in other words, what she told you, what I told her, in the King James it says, "let her beware." In other words, pay attention. Do it. Do what I said. And then it's recorded again, "she may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine." And we'll go on through that down to 15. But why do you think that God told Manoah that? Because you know what? Manoah was also there to do what with his wife? He was there to help her to maintain the separation and to do the things that were taught there. Folks, marriage, again, is a covenant relationship where there is a complement between a husband and a wife. And you saw that work there by God, even in Manoah and his wife, in the bringing on and the rearing and handling of their son to come named Samson. Verse 15, and Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we may have made a kid for ready, a kid for thee. By the way, what we're talking here is a sacrifice, not the literal child. I just had to bring that forth here this morning. But the point is, Manoah and his wife understood, we'll see this borne out here in just a minute, this was God talking to them. How is God speaking to you this morning? And to me, are we prepared? I know we don't have to sacrifice to God today. Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice. That's been done once for all. But folks, are we prepared today, in a sense, to sacrifice to the God of the Bible when he talks to us and calls to us? The sacrifice means to acknowledge him in a concrete way. And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. If thou wilt offer me a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. See, this was reinforcing that this is not just an angel. This is, I think, Peter. Remember what an angel told him? Peter was going to bow down and worship the angel, and he said, don't do this. Worship God. I am a man like you. In other words, not worthy of worship. Now, it's interesting here, because it says in the end of verse 16, for Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord, but he's going to find out here. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, but he knew he was something special, okay? What is thy name, that when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor? And the angel of the Lord said unto him, why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it in the King James, it says, it is secret. The actual Hebrew translation, the King James rendering of that, I don't think is the best, but what that rendering means there is wonderful. Now, the Lord has over 40 names. One of his names, think about this out of the book of Isaiah, Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. His name is Wonderful. There is only one Wonderful. It's God. I've said this before many times. You know, the image of God rests within all of us. And, Kay, you'll have to say he's repeating himself again. But Woodrow, if I came up to you on the street and I said, who are you, sir? What would you say to me? I am. You wouldn't just come and say, Woody. Well, probably not anyway. I am. When we introduce ourselves to someone, I am John. I am Lonnie. I am Doug. We bear the image of God and his creative effect in us every time we introduce ourselves. And he's saying to Manoah here, I am wonderful. Who other than God is wonderful? And Manoah understood this. See, he was getting this. By the way, folks, that's what we need. We have to have an encounter with God and really realize that he's wonderful. Anyway, go on here. So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it on a rock. By the way, he had the right idea to sacrifice to God. He knew he was God. He knew this was special, okay? Offered on a rock unto the Lord, and the angel did wondrously. And Manoah and his wife looked on. Now here it is, folks, verse 20. This confirms the whole thing right here. For it came to pass when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar, and Manoah and his wife looked on it, and here's where we know they knew this was God. It was Jesus, because what did they do? They said, I'm headed up. We just had an encounter with the man from upstairs. No, they did not. What did they do? Fell on their faces. They knew this was God in the form pre-incarnate of his son, Jesus Christ. Verse 21, but the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said to his wife, we shall surely die because we have seen God. Have you seen God? By the way, Jesus is here today. How many times have we thought about that? Where two or more are gathered, there I am with you also. Some of you might remember, it's been quite a few years ago, on a Wednesday night prayer meeting, a gentleman walked in the back door, unannounced, sat down. I think I spoke to him. He had very few words. He had a little bit longer hair, maybe shoulder length. He had a real meek look to him. And when he left, he didn't have many words to say either. I always said maybe that was Jesus physically here in our presence. Some of you remember that night when that happened? But Jesus, you're here today. No, Jesus is not distant. He is with us today. Have you acknowledged him today? Have I acknowledged him today? Jesus, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here because we have seen God. But Manoah and his wife knew that to literally see God, they were in a position again that they would be on their faces because, you know, the Bible really says if we will die if we look upon God. That's what he told Moses on the mount, so forth. It was a big thing. But his wife said to him, verse 23, if the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. By the way, he accepted their what? Their worship. Their worship. Isn't that interesting? And thank the Lord again for Mrs. Manoah. She straightened out her husband. Told him the way it was. You're looking here at a woman of faith. I believe Manoah was a man of faith as well. But when they were both used together of God, they got it right. That's a key for us. Anyway, he wouldn't have accepted the burnt offering and a meat offering in our hands. Neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would at this time have told us such things as these. And lo and behold, what happens when God does something? It comes to pass. You can count on it. And the woman who was what? Barren? Bare a son. And called his name Samson, meaning small son, sun child, bright sun. Samson, again, was another reflector of the glory of God. But he had a little trouble getting to that, to get the right essence of it. And that's what we'll be studying here in the next week, maybe 2 weeks. And then, rest assured, we'll go into the story again of Christ and his path to the cross, culminating on Resurrection Sunday. But notice here, the child grew, and what happened? The Lord blessed him. That's our first point. God endorsed and gave authority. He endowed Samson with his powers that were ordained for him to possess. By the way, folks, today, if you're here as a born-again, blood-bought believer in Jesus Christ, you have power. Not power that comes from your reserves and your resources. You have the power of Almighty God through the Holy Spirit. And there is nothing that shall be impossible when that force is combined within us for God. It all turns from I can't or I won't to I will and I can through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice here in 25, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. When God equips us and we receive that, we will be seeing spiritual things happen. Samson had some struggles, but Samson got it right before it was done. Even though, as it worked out, some of you know the end of the story, his life was taken, but he got it right. And I believe this, we'll see that sun child and the bright sun, the small sun in heaven because of his faith in God. Well, now we get into the second point here, and we're almost out of time this morning. But what happened here is Samson relinquished God's authority and endorsement temporarily in his life. He went on a path where he did relinquish those things before God. There was another thing I was going to say this morning. But it's this. By the way, all of us are leaders in one capacity or another. And there is no level there of importance. But whether you're a father or a mother in a home, you have a leadership role in your job, in the church, with your family, whatever the case may be, everyone has leadership, and everyone that is in a position of leadership, in other words, has the ability to make an impact, And everyone that is in a position of leadership needs to operate on the strengths of Almighty God. It's that simple. But Samson struggled with these things, and we'll digress into that, but we'll begin with the first one today. But remember this, write this down. God never endorses sin. God never endorses sin, but God, in His providential will and grace and mercy, still works in spite of sin. In us, in Samson. Know this today. I admit to you freely. You know, I've worn this tagline out. I'm the only sinner at Fruitland Baptist Church. Well, I acknowledge it. Some of you do too. But folks, we need to understand this. But we don't take the liberty with sin. God will not endorse that, but He will endorse it in spite of that if we get it right. He may choose to use us, but He never endorses us to go down the wrong path. We're going to learn here one little bit today, and then we'll close. We'll come back next week, but we'll see a dangerous pathway that Samson went down that ultimately revealed that his strength was not keyed to his spiritual connection with God, but he was doing it in the flesh. And yes, you're right. It culminated when he revealed about his hair. Didn't I say that earlier, that his hair was a reminder of God's providential care in his life? When he gave that up, there was nothing else left to give. But he did get it right. Look forward to that as we go. Here's the first point, and then we're going to close. Samson's path of relinquishment of authority and endorsement. It's found today in verses, beginning in 14:1. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman of Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, I think I said that already, that the Philistines were a perpetual enemy against the God of the Bible, God of Israel. By the way, today, Palestine, that comes from Philistine. Some of the things that are going on in the Middle East today have ties that go back to these same people. And they were a thorn in God's people's flesh. Back in those days, the Israelites, they're a thorn today in the sight of Israel, of the Israelites as well. But notice here, he went to Timnath, or sometimes in the Bible it's a town called Timnah. By the way, this is something I always kind of just bring as something that's a sidebar, but we know another guy got himself into trouble when he went to Timnah. And it was one of the predecessors here of Samson. It was a guy named Judah. You remember what happened with him? He got involved with his son's wife through trickery. And there ended up being a child named Tamar that came out of that. You remember all that account, but I always say, be careful when you shear sheep, and especially if you go to Timnah, because there's trouble on the road. You know, I tell that to students oftentimes when we dismiss from class. I see some of you headed for, how do I say that again? Oh, I see some of you headed for trouble, and it's looking for some of you as well. Something to that effect. But here it is. Here's where he got into trouble to start with. The first thing, it's the word here, saw a woman. Do you think Samson was just cruising along on the way to Timnah and saw a gal like that? And I believe this, folks, with all my heart again. Someone correct me if I'm wrong on this. But I believe this woman in some way was an enticement to him, maybe in ways more than just the normal perusement as he was looking at people. And Satan got a hold of him. And he was going to show the weaknesses and the fact, again, that Samson was not in the mode from his heart to be a Nazarite, okay, at this time. He saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines, and he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for me for my wife. Now, again, we want to be careful here. This was the Middle Eastern custom, and it still is in many cases. It's an arranged marriage. In other words, the parents had to endorse and choose the bride. Technically, Samson didn't go outside of the boundaries there. But what I think is the first step here with Samson, not only probably looking at a woman that was inappropriate, and maybe he was inappropriate in his thinking towards her, but it was the way that he treated his parents. What did he say? This is a starting snapshot of a heart that is not in the right path before God. He says, go get her for me. Make her my wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, read it for me. She pleases me well. We're going to have to stop there today. But folks, we've seen a bearing of the heart of Samson and how he operated. Again, his folks told him a right thing. Why are you disobeying God? And that was the downfall of Samson. It's the downfall of us when we begin to disobey and we aren't in a personal walk with, in many cases, with the God of the Bible. But if we are, it's the same thing. If we begin to disobey what God plainly tells us, folks, we are going to lose, again, the authority and the endorsement of God in our lives. Now the conclusion. We'll have to chop this up a little bit. But understand that today. Maybe there's someone here today. I don't know any particulars here, but maybe there's someone here today that has never yielded to the God of the Bible and understood the gravity of their situation with sin and how that separates us from God. But also the good part of all this, that Jesus came because he loves sinners. And he paid the sacrificial price that cost the God of the Bible everything to give us the pass if we'll but receive his gift and be forgiven of our sins and rescued by that work, culminating in the resurrection whereby we are guaranteed new life. Folks, that's the whole reason we're here today. See, to proclaim that fact. But what the Bible does, it builds the case for all that. And we'll see how that works in Samson's life. But in the short things we've learned today, what can we learn from Samson? We can learn a lot, okay? By the way, this book is relevant. Don't ever let anyone tell you it's archaic. It's top-notch. It's cutting-edge. It's right where we're at today, folks. It's a mirror. It'll tell you where you're at. What can we learn? God wants us to acknowledge him and his endorsement and authority under our hearts in the proper perspective with him. It's got to come from the heart. It's not superficial. Your long hair or your... By the way, I could have used Samson this last week. Bill, couldn't we have lifting things? But Samson's heart wasn't right until it was toward the end. But it's not the external strength, but the internal spirit that empowers a person that God wants to really use. That's the bottom line with all this morning. And so I put it to us this way, where are you and I at on this today? Yeah, this is a time to do an evaluation. And by the way, I appreciate everything here, but I appreciated that song today, Here Am I, Lord. Yeah. The question and thought I have here, and it is a question, isn't it time to stop relinquishing the real power of God in our lives? I'm done, but God's not. Amen. Let's stand if you're able. Take our hymnals today. 535. You know what? You don't have to have a reservation for Jesus. It's not like when you go to a fancy restaurant, they might tell you to hit the road because you don't have a reservation. There's room at the cross for everyone. Jesus died, it says in the scriptures, for the sins of the whole world. But not all will receive it. And that's the important thing today. Have you received the message of Jesus, of his grace and mercy? Or are you like where we find Samson right now, cruising along with the power that God's given you, but understanding it's not based in reality with your life? There's room at the cross for you, whoever, today. And again, I'm standing up here because I need to be. This is an opportunity again. Don't have to do that here, but why not? Why not do it publicly? You know, why go through the whole thing like Samson did before he realized what God's trying to do? Today is the day. Won't you come today? Here we go. the cross upon which Jesus died is a shelter in which we can hide. And its grace so free is sufficient for me, and deep is its fountain, as wide as the sea. Come on ahead. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. As we depart today, it's still time to do business with God. But if you have a care or concern in your life, mention it to me. I will pray for you. And my door is open to you at any time to help you, again, to find what Jesus has prepared for you. Marlon, I'm going to ask that you'd close today in prayer.